and we're recording, and I think this is the music right here. No, that's not it.
Nope.
It's this one. It's this one.
All right.
That's not it.
What?
Woo! Hey, hear that? Oh. Hear that nice saxophone bringing us into season two of Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. I'm Lucas.
I'm Phil.
And we are so glad you are joining us on this fantastic journey.
Yeah, yeah.
Into season two. So.
Yeah, we're excited. It's so hard for me to believe we've been doing this for a year, Lucas. Can you believe
it? I know. And that's what, I mean, I think when we started, we probably had six episodes out in the first 5 months. But since August, September, we have just been hitting it every single week.
Just about.
It's been a lot of fun. So... thank you for our dozens of listeners for listening to us. Thank you to everybody who came out to breakfast last Saturday. That was a lot of fun.
Amazing time. This is a little clip of you guys. Yeah,
there
you go.
There, you guys. There you are. You guys sound amazing. You should start your own podcast so we can listen to you. So.
That's right. You need to improve the sound quality a little bit, though.
Yes. Phil, we had that breakfast Saturday morning, and then Saturday, about 2 o'clock, I had my Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil t-shirt come in, which was really nice. It's super soft. I love it.
And it has my face on it.
Yes, it had both of our faces. So, and it's on the back, so I don't have to look at
you don't have to look at who? You cut out there just for a second. You don't have to look at us. Yeah, us. Thanks.
Because I love you, Phil, but I don't want to see you.
Yeah, why would we do
that? That's why we're testing out recording remotely. So.
Yeah, today we're recording remotely. And it's going okay. Yeah. Although you just cut out a couple times, Lucas. I don't know.
You're cutting back and forth. We'll see how the recording sounds later, Phil.
We may be just fine. But, so you got your t-shirt. I have not ordered my t-shirt yet, but I am going to get it. And you guys, if you have ever wanted a t-shirt with Lucas's face on it, as I always have, order one from our Amazon. Go to the link on our page. That's where you need
Facebook
to get it, because then we get
and,
like an extra 3 cents.
Link in the bio on Instagram, so you can find them.
Yeah.
That's the best way to have a shirt with our faces on it. Best way to support the show.
Yeah.
Outstanding. So,
I was going to ask you, Lucas, what's the best thing you ate this week? I actually sort of have two. I mean, because we know we all went to Big Baby Rolls and Donuts. Shout out to those guys. By the way, those guys were amazing.
Yeah, that was a great time. I loved it. So if you didn't get to go this Saturday, if you haven't been before, I would just encourage you, go support a local business and a delicious business at Big Baby
definitely.
Rolls and Donuts. So it's actually named after Phil.
It is not either.
Big Baby. So anyway,
Phil, tell us
the best
baby.
Thing you had to eat this week.
But I was going to say that I love some of the stuff at Big Baby Rolls and Donuts, especially that jalapeno sausage roll. That is some good stuff. But my wife made some biscuits this week we sometimes have breakfast for dinner. So it's appropriate that I talk about this. And this was a breakfast for dinner. And she said, well, I found this biscuit recipe that I'm just going to throw together. You just sort of throw everything in a pan and put it in the oven. And oh my goodness, it's got buttermilk. Now, I will say this, I think they're called butter swim biscuits.
That sounds gross.
No, it's
just
amazing.
The whole name. But swimming in butter is good for your food.
It's
so.
Good. Yeah, it's just that. It's not. They're not greasy or anything. They just have like a crust on them and buttermilk. And they are too rich to eat as many as I tried to eat. I actually lost. I could not eat. Put one on my plate and could not eat the rest of it. So, but that was not my first one.
Phil lost to the food.
I lost to the food. The food won. But
the
that
food
those
won.
Biscuits
kinda like 2020.
Were amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So, what about you? Anything else besides your t-shirt and your anniversary celebration? Did you eat anything awesome this week?
Yeah, so I actually have a confession. So Sunday for lunch, we had some delicious smoked chicken barbecue baked potatoes, which are one of my favorite meals. I love it.
Yes.
But Saturday for dinner, my cousin requested for her birthday some nacho cheese dip that I told you about. And you're like, I want to try it. And then I never did bring you any.
Yeah.
So I was actually planning to bring you some yesterday. And then we had it leftovers for dinner on Sunday night.
All right. Well,
we ran out because all the kids ate it. Still.
All the kids ate it. Well, that's not your fault, Lucas. It's not all your fault. It is partially your fault.
Because so one day, kids. Phil, I am going to get you some nacho cheese dip stuff that I've promised you about. So it's going to be delicious. It's going to be delicious.
I'm not sure I believe that, but I'll hold you to it. So is it time for coffee?
Dad Stories with Lucas.
Dad Stories with Lucas.
Okay, so we actually have Lucas's dad story from Saturday at the live event, and I'm gonna play it for you. And the sound quality is it's really noisy in there. So I'm gonna play it for you, and then I'm gonna have Lucas kind of tell the story, so we make sure everyone gets exactly what he is telling us here in this dad story with Lucas.
All right, dad story with Lucas. So take your bets now. Or no, you can bet a donut, you can bet
I'm eating this donut.
We already finished. They're not listening anyway. So, all right. So the other night, Tori has, she's already got Naomi's pajamas laid out underneath. She's like, I gotta go get ready and brush my teeth and stuff so I can offer it to. So if you will just see Naomi ready for bed. So she hands me Naomi. And I'm just, expecting if she's taking it through, maybe there's like a blowout or something that's gonna be really bad. But anyway, so I lay Naomi down, open up, no food. So if you get food, they have now. Anyway, so I get her diaper changed and I put her pajamas on and I see them say something, but I'm not sure what they say yet, and I see kind of an T-E-R. So I finally get it and I get all the way zipped up, and it turns out it says best sister. And so that is the way that I found out that Naomi is going to be a sister. So we have Big Number 2 coming October 11th.
So
Lucas, congratulations.
Thanks, Phil. Yeah, I'm super excited. October 11th, baby Lunsford is on the way. Naomi's going to be a big sister. I'm super excited for her. And
in case that didn't work out, now kind of briefly tell the story for those who couldn't understand how you found out. Because it's kind of interesting. It's kind of cute how you found out that, by the way, there was no poop in that story.
No poop in that story. So if you took the bet, you lose.
Yeah.
So the other night, Tori asked me to get Naomi ready for bed. She usually goes and brushes her teeth and gets her water and stuff like that before she kind of gives her that bottle and gets her to sleep. And so I was going to get her pajamas and her diaper changed and everything like that. So I laid her down on the table and got her diaper changed. And this whole time I saw that her pajamas had like a T-E-R on the pajamas, but I didn't know what it said. I thought maybe it said like greater or something like that.
Right.
I have no idea. Daughter, like world's best daughter.
Yeah, of course.
So I even said like, oh, did you get her new pajamas? And Tori was like, yeah, I did. And then so I finally got them zipped up. And as soon as I got them zipped up, I wanted to see what it said. And it said best sister. And so that's how Tori told me. It was a lot of fun.
I was like,
are you serious? And just super excited.
So did it take you like a beat to figure out like that you were actually finding something out, or did you kind of have an idea already?
So when I saw the TER on there, I was like, surely it doesn't say that. So when I zipped them up and I saw it was, I was like, no way. Like, I got it pretty quick. But
So your wife kept this a secret from you?
For a day.
Yeah.
For a day.
So she found out, and then that's pretty amazing. Way to go, Tori.
Amen. She's pretty spectacular with this type of stuff. So.
My wife never keeps a secret from me unless we just don't see each other, which that happens more and more. But, you know, I mean, she tells me everything. We tell each other everything like right away. But yeah, that's amazing. And congratulations again. October 11th.
Thank you. October 11th. That's when she told me we were having Naomi. She wrote it in the bottom of my coffee mug. You're going to be a dad, I think.
Oh, really?
And so, yeah. So as I was drinking, I saw something was written on the bottom of it, but I didn't think anything of it. So I put my mug back down and then finally like picked it up and finished my coffee. And then I was like, wait, what? And then I promptly tripped over the dog running around to give her a hug.
So. Yeah. Well, great dad story. Great dad story, but no poop if you guessed poop. We didn't really give you a chance to guess, unless you heard the live version, because there was a tiny vote moment. Although I do want to reemphasize, Lucas, if we're in an eating establishment, maybe we skip the whole poop, no poop part.
I don't know, Phil. I just think authenticity is the most important part of anything we do.
Maybe
and so. I don't want to leave anything out. We want to be authentic. It's a key part of our show, poop or no poop.
It is. And you could tell. I'd say the other thing, the key part of our show is that while you were telling that dad story, there were like 1,000 people in line right behind you buying donuts.
It's amazing. And at that time of the morning, it was probably their second breakfast. So
it was their second breakfast.
Glad to be a part of it. Yeah, it is cool, Phil. Just, I mean, we're about to get in the orange juice, those of you that are just on the edge of your seats. But just how, you know, over the past year, the podcast has really grown and changed.
Yeah.
And it all started, I was in my office and you popped your head and were like, hey, do you want to start a podcast?
Yeah.
And I've never hosted a podcast before. I don't think you've run the board and stuff for a podcast, but never.
No, we kind of did a podcast with Gordon and Jeremy, but we videoed it and then I sort of turned it into a podcast and it was sort of a hybrid thing. But yeah, this has been really, really fun. We've had a lot of good times and a lot of laughs. And so it is time for Gen Z Word of the Week.
Gen Z. All right, are you ready? You've heard of a Kyle and you've heard of a Karen.
I've heard of a Kyle.
Phil,
I've heard of a Karen.
Have you heard of a Heather?
I have not. I've heard of a Stan. No, Stan. Yeah, Stan too. So we got Stan, Kyle, Karen. Now it's Heather. Okay, so I've never heard that. So a Heather to me is going to be the popular teenage girl who's shallow. Shallow popular teenage
shallow?
Girl.
Shallow? Okay. You were actually closer until you said shallow.
Oh, man.
Okay, here it is. A Heather is a beautiful, perfect, desirable person that everyone wants to be with or just wants to be. Heather can be a male or a female. And so basically it's just that person that, you know, everybody's like, oh, man.
It's like the Lucas or the Phil.
That's right. That's right. The Lucas and the Phils of the world
That's
are Heathers.
That's right. The Lucases and Phils. It's really sad that I didn't say the Tories and the Bronwyns.
Well, I mean, I always want to be with Tori. So,
oh my goodness.
Phil, you're getting us in trouble.
I totally blew that in more ways than one.
Hey, Phil, you know what? We have the privilege of editing things. So
yes,
you can just edit it to say that. Say it right now.
You know, and what's going to happen is I'm going to keep that. Everything, my sister pointed this out. She said, you know, you threaten to edit a lot of things out and you never edit them out. My sister is one of our listeners. And she pointed that truth out. That's just a fact. Very few things that I threaten to edit out actually get edited out.
And you know why, Phil?
Why?
You know why? It's because authenticity is one of the most important things.
It's
so
very
we always
important.
Want to be at the. That's what makes us Heathers. It's because we're authentic.
We're just perfect in every way. Well, yeah. So it's time for the main course, Lucas.
We're going to eat, we're going to dine. And so, Phil, the questions of the day is, what does it mean that God is sovereign? And then what does that mean for us?
The questions of the day are, sovereignty. You mean, I'm going to correct your grammar, not your grandma, but your grammar.
Yeah, don't correct my grandma, she'll shoot you. So,
the questions of the day are, say the questions again. What does it mean that God is sovereign?
And what does that mean for us?
What does that mean for us? What that means is that God is God. He made everything. Everything comes from him. Everything is for him. Everything is for his glory. You know, everything exists for his purposes. And that ultimately, he's in charge of everything. So that's a, I mean, to me, that's a very basic understanding of sovereignty. God's the king. He is in charge. And that's what, you know, a sovereign would be, a king in an earthly sense. So then what does that mean to us? Well, boy, that's
okay,
huge.
Well, let me jump in on the first question before off on the second. So I was just going to say, I thought it was funny how enlightening it was when you said sovereignty means God is God. Just, you know, really answering those difficult questions. So Webster's defines sovereignty as supreme power or authority. And so just, I mean, God has authority over everything, and he knows everything, and he can do anything. And I think that's kind of the deal when we talk about sovereignty. God knows everything, can do anything. And then I love just on desiring God, it talks about not because God couldn't do it another way. God does all that he pleases, however he pleases, but because the sovereign God has chosen precisely and wisely to hang many of his plans on the prayers of his people. And so I just love that he talks about that, you know, God precisely and wisely. Like, I think sometimes when we think about absolute power, we think of people with absolute power, which corrupts absolutely, as the saying goes. But just like, if I had absolute power, it would be a crapshoot because I don't plan precisely and wisely most of the time, right? Like, it just happens.
Yeah.
But I love just sitting and thinking about God as planner.
Right.
And I think it's because it's something I'm not very good at, but God planning these things out and precisely and wisely. I think that just defines him as sovereign.
Yes.
He precisely and wisely does everything. Yeah.
And I think, you know, one of the things that you're bringing up, which is part of the next question, is what that article you said was about. Is it why pray? If God's sovereign, why pray? And I think that was a question when I was a kid that a lot of people would ask, is if God's sovereign, why do anything? You know, it's all going to happen the way God wants to happen anyway. Why are we even here? What's the point? So God's
exactly.
But I love that that explanation that God sovereignly and wisely has chosen to hang much of his plan on the prayers of his people. And I would add to that, he's chosen to hang much of his plan on the obedience of his people.
Yeah.
Or the activity, you know, the ministry, the things. One of the most, here's some verses about sovereignty. It's in Psalm, I can't remember the chapter and verse, but it's in Psalms. It says the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. And it's like, wow. So there's a sense in which God has put this earth under our authority.
Yeah, you know, and that's,
in some
I think,
sense.
Under Arthur, I think one of the things, though, maybe his plans don't hinge as much on our obedience as we sometimes think, though.
Sure.
Because, like, Gordon's been talking about Jonah a lot, and one of the points we brought up, you know, Jonah tries to run, and then God has him swallowed by a whale, and then Jonah, we see kind of his heart shift back to the Lord, but his heart is still not in obedience to go and love the people of Nineveh.
He goes and does it begrudgingly. God makes sure it gets
done. And so it's that deal of, like, you know, oftentimes God uses people who think, you know, Pharaoh in Egypt, for instance, is another great example.
Yeah.
Pharaoh thought he was doing whatever he wanted, and yet God was the one controlling that situation.
Yes.
Whether Pharaoh knew it or not.
And the thing about, you know, God, and I think Gordon actually pointed this out in his sermon, you know, God used a donkey when he had to. When he couldn't get through to the person, he spoke through a donkey. So, so maybe we should say it this way. Maybe because we know that his plans hinge on the fact that they're his plans and that his sovereignty. He chooses to allow us to participate. Even if, you know, I am kind of one of those people that thinks, well, if I don't do it, God will make sure it gets done one way or the other, which is not to excuse myself, but just I just believe that. You know, mm-hmm. I believe God is sovereign and he's going to, you know, Ephesians says he always accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he always gets it done one way or the other, but he gives us the privilege of participating either by praying or by stepping out and listening to his voice and doing what he asks us to do.
Yeah, and that's in that too, you know, like we have free will and yet his plans are always accomplished. And one of the things, like, again, going back to God as planner in that, I'm 26 years old, and yet thousands and thousands of years ago, God had plans in place that would have me making this podcast with you right now because it was a part of his plan. And so those things were laid out from the beginning of time, what it was going to look like. And that's just amazing to me. You know, you go back to the movie, The Butterfly Effect, which I've actually never seen, but I know what the butterfly effect is. And just, you know, a butterfly flapping its wings in this single way can have such an effect on us so long after, much less what we're doing with our day to day, what that is going to do in the future. Effect.
Okay. Anyway, so sorry, note to self. Yeah, I remember that there was a movie, The Butterfly Effect, and that I kind of get what that was about. But I guess a lot of our listeners are Googling that right now. Butterfly effect? What's that?
What's a butterfly effect? Yeah, if you're driving, stop Googling,
stop
okay?
Stop Googling right now.
Siri, Leah, I'm talking to you.
And don't lie and tell Siri you're not driving. Don't do that.
Yeah, I've never done that.
Yeah, Siri makes me lie all the time. Tell her I'm not driving. Oh, of course I'm not driving.
I love in this article, one of the things that, you know, God being sovereign, our prayers to him still, why we should pray because he's sovereign is the whole point of this. But one of the things it talks about, Psalm 37, 4 through 7, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. And so I just think, in his sovereignty, as we pray, our hearts are more united to his. And in our all of our different talks about identity, we come back, we are in one spirit with God, as we see in 1 Corinthians. And so, and when we pray and he's sovereign, our hearts become more and more like his, and our desires change and are purified to be the desires of God.
Yeah.
Which is just amazing, because my desires as a young man were not the desires of God. And even still, he's transforming my desires and I'm learning what my desires actually are now.
Yeah.
And learning to walk in the Spirit and seeing the sovereignty of God in that is pretty spectacular.
Yeah. And I think you're really bringing something up, is that what does it mean to us that God is sovereign? Well, think about just that fact that God has given us the privilege, not just of participating in his activity, but of joining our lives. He has brought us into himself and he has made us partakers of the divine nature, Peter says. And he has, like you said in 1 Corinthians, Paul said he's made us one spirit with him. He desires that we're so close to him and have such intimacy with him that our desires become like one thing. And what an amazing thing that we get to be one spirit, that we get to be joined together with the almighty, unchanging, all-knowing, sovereign God. I mean, that is just an amazing thing.
For sure. It's just crazy.
And what does that mean? Go ahead. So what does that mean? You know what I'm saying? You kind of brought this up. So we're joined to God in and all that he is, all of his power and all his sovereignty. What should that mean to me that I'm a part of that? I'm just thinking, Lucas. I'm thinking here.
Yeah.
I don't have a big answer yet.
Well, I think first off, as you think, one of the things that should do is it should humble us. You know, I think we like to talk about all good things come from the Lord and anything good that comes from me is from God. And when we really stop to think about that, you know, if we're in one spirit with God, meaning that those good things that come from us are because we are walking step in step. We are, you know, we have the power of the Lord coming through us, those good things that are coming out, like, I don't know how you could stand there and have any ounce of self-pride remaining when we start to think about that.
Yeah.
You know, and it's
exactly.
But it also, in the same breath, empowers us dramatically that, you know, it's humbling to think that God has chosen me and loves me enough that he is working through me to do these things. And that's humbling. Yeah. And yet it's empowering because God is working through me. The power of God flows through me.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is.
At the same time, and I think it's because the pride switches. It's no longer pride of self or pride of life, but it's pride in my God.
Yeah, and it's not. It's no longer a self-confidence. It's a God-confidence. And that's something I think that's really hard for us because we want to be humble before God. We want to make sure that we're not being proud in our flesh, but we're branches of the vine. That self that we're afraid is going to rise up in pride is really dead. And I know we need to continually remember not to live by the flesh, because then that's when we start to really feel that pride, you know, that maybe sinful pride or that fleshly pride. And so, yeah, we need to walk by the Spirit and not by the flesh, but there our true nature is a branch of the vine. You know, everything that we really are comes from Jesus. He's the vine. We're the branches. I mean, we don't have any, like if you're connecting up your sound system or your video system or your stereo system, you have all these different connectors going into all these different things. All of our connectors go into him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Everything we get comes from him.
And I think, too, you know, I was talking with a group of youth ministers the other day and just talking about these agricultural references that Christ makes.
Yeah.
And one of the things that was brought up was just talking about how, you know, like you bring up the electrical cords hooking up a sound system. The difference is you can plug and unplug a sound system and it really doesn't make a difference.
It doesn't
as soon as
kill
it's
it.
Plugged back in, it's fine.
Right.
With a vine and branches, it takes a long time to graft a branch back in.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's not an instantaneous plug unplug. And so with the Lord, that's why like it's like a relationship. You can't just plug and unplug. Like you have to really graft in with the Lord and be in it.
Yeah.
That's why sometimes coming back, it feels funny coming back to the Lord after an extended absence.
Yeah.
Because it's like being grafted back into the tree and it happens. And eventually you are just a part of the tree once again. Yeah. But it takes time.
It does. And I want to read something that, as you were talking about our desires changing, in Vine's Expository Dictionary, Romans 12:2, where it talks about renewing the mind, which is what you're talking about. You know, if you come back or as you grow, you know, your mind has to be renewed. It's and here's what he says: the renewing of your mind. The adjustment of the moral and spiritual vision and thinking to the mind of God, which is designed to have the transforming effect. He's talking about the word renew for renewing the mind. What happens as we're connected to the vine, we begin to see things and to think like him.
Mm-hmm.
And what does sovereignty mean? If we can begin to think like him, how much peace can we have about the craziness in the world? If we can begin to have such a confidence and such a knowing like he does, you know, is God worried? No, God's not worried.
So Maverick City Music, which shout out to Maverick City Music. If you haven't listened to him, I suggest you go try. But Tori, like I come home and she's like, you have to listen to this and tells me this song has just like gotten her to tears. But one of the lines the girl just sings is, God's not worried. Why am I worried? If God's not worried, why am I worried?
Yeah.
But it's just such a perspective shift when we talk about a sovereign God. Instead of saying, if God is sovereign, then why did he allow this to happen? My thing can be, God is sovereign, and because he allowed this to happen, I know that it is for good.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, God is sovereign, and Hurricane Katrina was awful and terrible, and yet I know that God had good plans because he allowed it to happen. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, when a loved one dies, like, that's terrible, and it's, I never want to walk through that, and I know I'm going to have to eventually. But I never want to walk through it again after losing some loved ones.
Yeah.
But I know in those moments, I knew that my sovereign God had something good in that. Yeah. And I didn't have to stop and question, how could a good God do this? Because ultimately, it starts with God is good. And because of that, everything he does is for good.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if you talk about the goodness of God and you bring up just such a huge question for a lot of people, if God were good, then this wouldn't have happened. No, I think, I mean, and I hate to just be argumentative, but God shows his goodness not by guaranteeing us a trouble-free life. He shows his goodness in a much more rich way. He shows his goodness by sacrificing himself on the cross through Jesus to give us a way to have relationship with him and intimacy with him through the difficulties in this sinful and broken world. You know, he is good, and he shows himself good that way.
Yeah, I think one of the things we do is we try to put God in this box and we say God can do this, this, and this, or we try to say that, you know, he's only allowed to do these things, or if he allows this to happen, then that means he's not good.
Right.
But that's not God. That's an idol. When we take things away from God, when we limit him, we're not worshiping God anymore. We're not glorifying God anymore. We're glorifying something that we have made.
Yeah.
Because God is God. And when we truly allow him to be sovereign, when we accept that and accept that he is good no matter what and that he has good plans, it's freeing and eye-opening and allows us to let him out of that box. And as we were talking about being in one spirit with him, it allows us to come out of that box too, where we can freely worship him and freely glorify him with our lives.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty deep. I think, how do you get to that point? How do you get to that point where you can allow God to be God? That's a tough one because if you know my story, I went through a big period of basically where I did just that. I said, well, God can't be real, or he can't be the God of the Bible. You know, Christianity's bogus because of XYZ, because the things that I observed. And what got me to the point of believing again really was a very personal encounter with a God that I did not understand. It wasn't that I came to understand, oh, he's sovereign and I have to let him be God. No, no, no. It was a very personal encounter with a God that I still did not understand.
No, because if what you're doing is waiting to understand God, you're never going to do it.
Yeah.
And so it is that personal relationship with him. Like you said, that personal encounter with God that you didn't know you didn't understand yet.
I love one of the most intellectual guys that I have ever had the privilege of listening to is a guy named Alvin Plantinga. And he is one of the greatest apologists of our time. So when asked why he believes in God, he gives the most brilliant response. He says, I believe in God just because it seems like there is a God. And I'm like, that's so true. Because at some level, it just has to be this human knowing that, probably so.
You know? Makes sense.
it's just got at our gut level, we were made by him. And that makes perfect sense that we would just sort of wake up in the morning, look up in the sky and go, yeah, probably a God up there. And that's, I think Alvin Plantinga really does a good job of saying that's a very logical step to take. And to move away from that is illogical. Anyway, it has to be a knowing, you know, it's a personal thing. So I don't, those are powerful, wonderful questions to ponder. Again, we come back to knowing God on the second breakfast with Lucas and Phil, don't we?
Hey, what do you know? Every week. Because it's probably the most important thing you could ever do with your
absolutely.
Life. So, but yeah. On that note, before we switch to a minute of culture, I think maybe this is the hard truth, and I don't know if this has to anything to do with what we've been talking about, but it was just something from Sunday school that goes along with that, and that is just it's good to question and it's good to doubt.
Yes,
but if all you do is question and doubt and you don't seek truth for those questions and those doubts, then you're just being lazy. And so on both sides of that, you know, if you go, well, it doesn't make sense, so there is no God, and I'm good with that, that's just laziness. Well, and laziness that's going to cost you more than you know. And then the other side of that is if you're just satisfied with Sunday school answers and you're not going to dig deeper to actually know God, it's just laziness. And laziness that's going to cost you a lot more than you really know.
Yeah. Yeah, I would also say a lot of times I think people reject God, not because he's not logical or because they don't understand, but because they really don't want to be told what to do. So that getting back to God's sovereignty, I think sovereignty is an issue for people a lot of times because we just don't want to be told what to do. And ultimately, you know, you kind of have to get to the point where you realize I need to be told what to do. Yeah. I'm not really strong enough to do this all by myself.
It's funny how sometimes the quest for independence leads us right back to realizing we are dependent on God for every single thing, and how beautiful it is to be dependent
amazing.
On him.
It's amazing because we're dependent on somebody that's so incredibly powerful and rich and full of life. Ah, everything we want, everything we desire, a wellspring of everything we desire. So what's the minute of culture for today?
Hey, Phil. Lucas? So I am finally catching up on WandaVision. Woo-hoo! I still haven't watched episode 8, but
WandaVision.
How crazy. End of episode 7. How crazy was that? Spoiler alert. If you haven't watched it yet, tune out now.
Yeah, tune out now because this is one of the most imaginative storylines I could even conceive of. I mean, I couldn't conceive of it.
Watching episodes like 1 and 2, you're like, okay, where are they going with this? And kind of started to like piece it together. Episode 3 was like, whoa. But then episode 7 just like blew my stinking mind at the end. Like, it was her all along. Like,
right. And what's happened to me is I've watched each episode. What past episode 3 has just blown my mind. Well, maybe 4. 4, you're like, what? Oh. And then the next episode, what? It's just every episode of this thing. It's really cool. If you haven't watched WandaVision, I'm a big fan. I love great storytelling and imagination. Well,
creativity. And just keep going. You know, I think episodes 1 and 2 are entertaining, but they're not really quite like Marvel. But then once you get to episode 3, it becomes real. And you need to watch it so you can be ready to watch Winter Soldier and the Falcon, or Falcon and Winter Soldier, whatever the title is, because that's going to come out right after WandaVision finishes. So.
And if you're like me and you need a refresher, the extra content, the Legends.
Oh, yeah. I haven't gotten to watch that yet, but that looks super cool.
They're like 10-minute pieces on Wanda. There's one on Wanda and one on Vision. So it sort of recaps their stories through the Marvel Universe movies, and it's cool.
It's been over a minute of nerd culture with Lucas and Phil. So thanks for listening.
Yeah.
Hey, we love you guys. We're glad that you have listened this week. We are glad that you are regular listeners. You're amazing. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, please email us at secondbreakfast777@gmail.com.
Or secondbreakfast777@gmail.com.
Lucas at EastwoodTulsa.com. Phil at EastwoodTulsa.com. Or you can message us on Facebook or Instagram. Love and Pancakes. Any complaints can be sent over to Gordon at EastwoodTulsa.com because he cares.
He does. He really cares.
Now, we love you guys. We are glad that you are a part of the Second Breakfast
family.
And
once again, shout out to the folks over at Big Baby Rolls and Donuts for hosting our 1-year celebration. This is the beginning of season 2. You guys are now a part of it. You've actually been, if you're one of our people, you've been on it. Let me see if I can hear somebody say Loving Pancakes here. There you are. You're on the podcast.
Yeah. Loving Pancakes. We love you guys. Have a fantastic week. Love Jesus. Love others. Nothing else matters.
see you next time on Talking Breakfast.
Second Breakfast remotely now. Going into season 2 of The Cow. Oh yeah, like chocolate milk. It tastes so good. We loving it now. How? Oh, Second Breakfast lost the music in my ears. I can't hear the beat right now. So I'm conquering my fears. Yeah.